Douglas MacArthur, before the cadets at West Point, gave a speech called Duty, Honor, and Country. I'd like to just read some of it. He said, those three hallowed words, duty, honor, and country, reverently dictate what you ought to be. Remember now, he's speaking to cadets. What you ought to be, what you can be, and what you will be. They are your rallying points to build courage when courage seems to fail, to regain faith when there seems to be little cause for faith, to create hope when hope becomes forlorn. Unhappily, I possess neither that hope when hope, I possess neither that eloquence of diction, nor the poetry of imagination, nor the brilliance of metaphor to tell you all that they mean, duty, honor, and country. The unbelievers will say that they are but words, but a slogan, but flamboyant phrases. Every pundit, every demagogue, every cynic, every hypocrite, every troublemaker, and I'm sorry to say some others of an entirely different character, will try to downgrade them even to the intent of mockery and ridicule. But these are some of the things that they do. Duty, honor, and country. They build your basic character. They mold you for future roles as custodians of nation's defense. They make you strong enough to know when you are weak and brave enough to face yourself when you are afraid. They, duty, honor, and country, these three words teach you to be proud and unbending in honest failure. Be humble and gentle in success, not to substitute words for actions, nor to seek the path of comfort, but to face the stress and spur of difficulty and challenge, to lean or to learn to stand up in the storm, but to have compassion on those who fail, to master yourself before you seek to master others, to have a heart that is clean, a goal that is high, to learn to laugh yet never forget how to weep, to reach into the future yet never neglect the past, to be serious yet never take yourself too seriously, to be modest so that you will remember the simplicity of true greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, and the meekness of true strength. Duty, honor, country, they give you a temper of will, a quality of imagination, a vigor of emotion, a freshness of the deep springs of life, a temperamental predominance of courage over timidity, an appetite for adventure over love of ease. They create in your own heart the sense of wonder, the unfailing hope of what next, and the joy and inspiration of life. Duty, honor, and country. These three words. We think about, again, seeing our country today reminded of these three words that we need to come back to. I love that somebody has said that, of course, we know that the country was founded upon biblical principles. And when those who came to America, the French came looking for wealth, the Spaniards came looking for gold, but the Pilgrims came looking for God. And what makes America different than the other nations, South America, Central America, and the other here on our side of the world, was that America was founded upon biblical principles. It's the difference maker. That's why God has blessed America in the way that He has blessed it. And we need to get back to these three words: a call to duty, a call to honor, and a call to country. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, we'll take just a couple of minutes. Psalm 33 and verse 12 in your Bible. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Again, we see today a country that is rebelling against God Almighty, a country that is seeking to put God aside, and we need to get back to these three words: duty, honor, and country. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Look down to verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. I'm just the very first of the message. I want to remind you, Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have to come and to open your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are blessing and have blessed America. We thank you for those who gave their lives in order that we might have freedom to meet this morning. And Lord, we especially thank you for sending your dear son to die for us that we might have eternal life and the price that was paid. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a call this morning, a call to duty. That word duty means obligations of behavior or conduct in relation to others or to God, which have a stronger, listen to this, that have a stronger claim on a person than his own self-interest. His own self-interest. It's putting others' interests in front of your own. It's an obligation we have to conduct ourselves, to do our duty, to do our duty to our country. We, the men and women of America, need to do our duty. Why? Because of the blood that was shed. Because of the blood that was shed for our freedom. We need to do our duty because of the sweat that was poured out on the by the soldiers of yesteryear and today. And thirdly, for the pain that was endured. Not just that they died, but the pain that was endured in carrying out the duty that they performed. And absolutely for the men and women who have died in order that we might have our freedom. Listen, we have a call to duty because of the price that has been paid for our freedom. 102 pilgrims made the trip to America. 44 of them died during the first winter. All for freedom. But most importantly, all for freedom of religion. That they might worship God freely. We have a duty as Americans. And we have a duty to our Heavenly Father as well. We have a duty to our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the blood that was shed on Calvary. That precious blood, 1 Peter says, that was the precious blood, not silver or gold, not that saves us from our sin, but the precious blood of Jesus. The perfect, spotless Lamb who shed His blood in order that we might have eternal life. We should do our duty as Christians because of the sweat that was poured out, that He sweat great drops of blood for us. There, just before Calvary, there on Mount Olives, He sweat drops of blood, literally, for us. We need to do our duty because of the pain that was endured. Not just any cross, but He endured the cross. The cross of Calvary, the pain that was endured. We are to do our duty as Christians because Christ died for us. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We must always remember that there was a price for our freedom. Right? Freedom's not free. Brother Cox said it just a moment ago. A price was paid. And as Christians, we must understand, as Christ followers, there was a price paid. But what's the Bible say? We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies. That we need to do our duty as Christians because there was a price paid for us to have everlasting life. Can I remind you too that there was a price paid in order that we might have an abundant life? We put a lot of attention on the life hereafter, and I'm thankful for heaven. But if all we received when Christ died for us was a better life here on earth, it would be worth it all. He came to give us life and to give us life more abundant. We ought to be thankful, and we ought to do our duty as Christians in light of the price that was paid for our freedom. We have a duty as Americans and as Christians, but we also have a call to honor. A call to honor. The word honor there means moral integrity. It means conventional respect for a person of high rank or distinction. I can think of no one of higher rank than the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Of higher rank. It means respect, an honor. An honor, a call to honor. Honor our country. America gives high regard for service done with honor and courage. We think about the Congressional Medal of Honor and for the Purple Hearts and the other honors that are bestowed upon our servicemen and women. There's a high regard for honoring our servicemen and women. Honor them. Respect them. I saw this morning on Fox News that somebody had disrespected and wrote graffiti on the monument there in Washington, D.C. of our fallen soldiers, had actually sprayed graffiti on it. And that is unbelievable that somebody would disrespect. I saw another place where somebody had knocked down the white crosses and, and disrespected the graves of those who had fought for our freedom, and how horrible that is. We need to honor those who have served, and we did so this morning. We want to continue to do that and have that as Americans, that we honor them. Can we be reminded this morning as Christians that it is our duty to honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ gave His life for us, and Christ gives high regard. Not only should we honor Him, but we should have a high regard for Christian service. In other words, we honor the Lord by serving Him. We honor Him by serving Him. Service is, and by the way, He will reward us. He will honor us for serving Him. How do I know that? Well, it talks about that we'll receive rewards in heaven. Just as we give out the Congressional Medal of Honor and we give out other honors to those who serve our country, so will the Heavenly Father give out honors to those who serve Him faithfully. There's, the Bible speaks of five different crowns, and we won't go into that this morning, but five different crowns that those who go to heaven and those who stand before Him one day at the judgment seat of Christ will receive honors from Him, rewards for those things which are done. By the way, those things done for His glory, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says. Those things done, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, those things done for His glory. I want to remind you, when you get to heaven, those who are saved, when you get to heaven, that you will not give an account for your sin. There won't be some computer screen up there, and all your sins will be placed before you, and you'll give an account for your sins. No, that will not happen. Your sins will not be placed on one side and your good works on one side of a balance. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you get to go to heaven. That won't happen. The Bible, nowhere does it say that that's going to happen. It's not going to happen. In fact, it's just the opposite. My Bible says that when I accepted Christ as my Savior, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that my sins were forgiven. My sins were forgiven, cast into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. My Bible says that when I got saved, that my sins were thrown as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. Never to be remembered anymore. My sins are gone. Thank God my sins are gone. Amen. I love that song. I'd sing it, but you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgiveness. Isn't that awesome? That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I love that song. My sins are gone. Someday we'll stand before God, but we will not give an account for our sins. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and many other scriptures tell us that we will, as Christians, as born-again believers, stand before God and give an account for our works, whether they be good or bad. What does that mean, preacher? What does it mean, whether they be good or bad? It means whether or not we did them for our own achievement, for our own glory, or for His glory. Whether or not we were drawing attention to ourselves or drawing attention to the Savior. It really comes down to motivation. Why do you, as a Christian, do what you do? Why do you teach the Sunday school class? Why do you sing in the choir? Why do you sing the special? Why do you usher? Why do you run the bus route? Why do you teach a master's club? Why do you help clean the building? Why did you show up for the work day? Why? You know, it's motivation. And when I stand before God one day, I'll give an account based upon whether my motivation was based upon for His glory or for my glory. Amen? Man, I want to, and I don't always, but my hope, my goal is to serve Him because I love Him. Amen. To do the things of the Lord because I want to do those things. And I'm glad that one day I'll stand before Him and He will pass out the honors. And I hope one day I'll receive some of those crowns and some of those rewards. He will honor those who serve Him. Christian, are you serving Him? A lot of Christians are not honorable when it comes to Christ. There are some Christians who are dishonest. Christians who live in sin. Can we be reminded that we need to honor Him with our lives? That our lives ought to be indicative of a Christian as we follow in Christ's steps? The Bible describes our life as that we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are representatives of Jesus Christ. I sang a song here a while back that you're the only Jesus some will ever see. Listen, this morning, we ought to live the Christian life as Christ followers. In other words, we ought to imitate Christ, be imitators of Christ, Christians, imitators of Christ, and to be a good testimony, to honor Him with our lives, with our lives. Duty, honor, last one's country. As Americans, we need to come back, if you would. And I know that's crowd. I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but America needs a call back. People of America need to be called back to their country, to stand as Americans for our country, to stand for our rights as citizens of America, to stand up for right, to stand up for righteousness. As Americans, we need to call back, a call for freedom against an overpowering government. You say, preacher, what are you getting political for us? I believe in limited government. That's the way the Constitution was set up. It's our politicians who have fouled it up. Oh, don't get political on us here at the end of the sermon, preacher. We have a call to country, a call for standards and for decency. I said Wednesday night, really just common sense. Where has common sense gone in America today? That even many of our own politicians have little or no common sense. And then, this is the big one really. We need to call to country to deal with the apathy of Americans and a lack of appreciation of Americans. That's really, Brother Cox said it. Today is a reminder of the sacrifice that was made for our country. And there is a definite lack of appreciation among a host of Americans today. And let us as Christians never be that way. We should be different. We should have a love for our country. We should have should honor our country. And a call back to country is a call back to what America should be. You say, preacher, is there hope? Yes, there's hope. America has been in this state a few other times. You say, I don't know about that. Well, go back and do a little history. And we've been about this low before. The Roaring Twenties were a very immoral time. Go back and read about the Roaring Twenties. Very immoral time. Very, very immoral time. And there's other times in American history. You go back to the 40s, 1840s and 1850s. You can go back to some of the other eras in which America had become complacent, immoral, and where the government had overreached in many different areas. What happened in those times? Revival. Revival. Especially in the 1800s, a great revival took place. Listen, as Americans, we need to call back to country, but we understand that it's duty, honor, and country. And for us, as Christians, our citizenship's in heaven. I'm living in Christ, you see, because I'm already over on the other side, waiting for my body to be. Listen, I am a citizen of heaven. 1 Thessalonians said, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He goes on to say, you know, the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with Him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to the day when the trumpet sounds. 1 Corinthians 15 says, the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. Listen, and we'll be changed incorruptible. I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus returns for the saved, for those who are born again. So you say, you believe that. I believe it absolutely. Just as much as I'm standing here, that one day a trumpet will sound. One day, God the Father will tell His Son to go get His bride. And one day that'll happen. And the voice of the archangel, call up hither! and boop, we're out of here. And we'll be changed in the moment, a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. I'll receive this old body, will become new. I'm really looking forward to that. No more leg hurting, no more knees hurting, no more this and that, sickness. And that'd be awesome. I'm looking forward to that day when I go to my heavenly country. That country. Can I again remind you, we're just pilgrims passing through this land. This is just a speck in time compared to eternity. I wish there was some way that I could portray that. I thought Brother Stewart got as close as I've seen to someone visualizing and getting us to understand that this, during the Bible conferences here, that this is just a speck in time. Ooh. Eternity. Eternity. All eternity with the Lord in heaven. For those who've accepted Christ as their Savior, there will be a heavenly calling. We have a call to country. I hope you this morning you know you're saved. I hope there's been a day in your life, a point in your life when you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have transferred your trust from any other sources of salvation unto Christ and Christ alone. It is Christ that saves us from our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death. The penalty of sin is death. The penalty for being selfish by nature, the penalty for sin is death. Revelation says that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. When the Bible speaks of that death, it's speaking of the second death. It's talking about hell. The penalty of sin is hell. The penalty of sin is physical death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have and can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 years ago as a babe, born in a manger, and lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Never one time having a sinful thought. Never one time performing a sinful deed. He was sinless in his nature because he had no human father. He was born of a virgin. And after 33 years of life, he gave his life for us. He paid the ultimate price that we might be freed from the bonds of sin and death. Amen. Freed from the shackles of that penalty of death. Jesus Christ said, no man takes my life. He said, I lay it down. We don't blame the Roman soldiers for killing him. We don't blame the Jews for killing him. He said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. Why? He said, the Bible says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died that we might live. He died that we might have freedom from sin and death. They put him in a grave, but the grave couldn't hold him. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he had paid for our sins in full, proving that he had no sins of his own, proving that he was indeed the God-man. Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again, that we might have freedom from the penalty of sin. Freedom from the penalty of sin. Has there been a point in your life when you have believed and put your trust in Him? A great sacrifice was made that we as Americans might have freedom. Many soldiers have died, paid the ultimate price that we might have freedom. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. Listen now. By the way, he was no ordinary man. We're talking about the God-man. We're talking about the same God who called the universe into existence from nothing. The same God who made the sun, the moon, and the stars. In fact, David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him? He said, when I consider the stars, the sun, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? David couldn't understand why God would love and consider mankind. But he did. Verse 13 of Psalm 33 says, and the Lord looketh from heaven, and he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And Horus is in vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any of his great by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. God looks down upon mankind, beholds them. I'm glad I serve a personal God who cares for me personally. And that same God sent his Son, his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, Christ paying the ultimate price for our freedom, for our salvation. Let us do our duty as Americans. We ought to do our duty. Be about the business of being a good citizen. A good citizen. A good voting citizen. A good citizen. We ought to be about our duty as Christians. Fighting the good fight of faith. Serving Him. There's no time to sit and sour. It's time to go forward. Serve the Lord. Do our duty. And then honor. Honor the Lord with our lives. Honor our soldiers and those who paid the price, as we did this morning. And then let us do our duty with honor, remembering our country. Our earthly country and our heavenly country. We're just pilgrims passing through. Remind you, the psalmist says, our hope is not in the politicians. Our hope is in thee. Let us put our hope in Him. Duty, honor, country. Duty, honor, country. Those three words. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, only trust Him. After we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You with grateful hearts. Remembering those who gave their life that in order that we might have the freedom to meet here this morning, to pray, to have homes and children and the freedoms we have as Americans. Lord, thank You for these men and women who've given the ultimate price that we might have our freedom. Lord, we thank You for Your dear Son who You gave, who paid the ultimate price that I might have eternal life. Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to remember. Help us to never forget. Help us not to be apathetic, but continue to go forward as Christians. And we'll thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn